check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got em. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm a clown with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russin Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
I'm Jagger May, and I wish I had a trading problem.
I'm Jeff Ballard. I'm here to get a trading problem.
I love it. Diversity amongst our people. I love it. Well, hey, everybody, and welcome to session 344 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will. And we did. We are here on, I don't know what week it is anymore. All I know is it is round two of the SFB playoffs, and I am in them. It is we're getting into week 13, right? Is that what you're telling me? Newsman's giving me the information. There you go, Frank. We'll talk to Frank in a second. But before we do talk to them, there's no point in me talking right now. Jagger and Jeff, why don't you let everyone know who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
Jeff.
We are the Football Guys Dynasty Football Show. I am Jeff Bell, and that is my good friend Jagger May, and we do a lot of work over at Football Guys. So I am fortunate. I'm the luckiest guy in the industry because I don't have to do a lot of behind the scenes work. I get to do a lot of front facing work. Jag is the glue guy that holds a lot together. Jag also puts out a lot of content, but he's the brains behind a lot of especially the shows and those types of things that you see, that the clean edits, those types of things, and he's fantastic at everything he does.
Thank so you, he's Jeff. The brains and the looks. What do you bring?
Jeff is more brain.
Bring that up because like somebody is going to ask that question in the wrong room sometime.
And
bring that up.
Sunday morning live, people would like, they literally put in, I want to know what Jeff thinks about this. And like me and Joe are like, okay, like what bad advice did we give you last week? Did I tell you to start Tank Dell again? My bad.
You were on the Brian Thomas train. And there were several weeks where I told people, I was like, yeah, I'm out of Brian Thomas this week. And then he would go out and score an 80-yard touchdown in the first 5 minutes of the game.
Look, you have to be wrong every once in a while just to seem human.
Yeah.
It's called right. Take Lock Jock. So.
I'm not going to call you that. all right. So we have some news, it looks like. And so I'm going to pass it over to our newsman, Frank. What's going on?
You left me muted. Hi, guys. So there's a lot going on, as Russ said. Aaron Rodgers had quite a saga this weekend. And before I get into it, he went on McAfee and disputed all of this. I don't believe a word he says on McAfee anymore, let alone what he says. So there's been talks about him being benched, cut, placed on IR all this year. He's reportedly said he wants to play in 2025, but not for New York. We can cross where he goes next year when he picks a spot, but I guess what do you do for the rest of the year? So it's let's just say it's Tyrod for the rest of the year. Is Garrett Wilson now a rebuilding asset? Is Davante Adams valueless? Are we buying before a new regime next year? And, you know, Ulbrich said Rodgers is starting this week, so we'll see how that goes. But, Jagger, what do you think about all this?
This was always in the scenario with Aaron Rodgers. I can't say this was a movie that wasn't going to write itself, but here we are. Garrett Wilson is 100% a rebuilding asset, but I believe Garrett Wilson's becoming this player, as like Jeff likes to say, is like whoever has Garrett Wilson at this point loves him the most, because like, unless you're going to pay me the house for Garrett Wilson, I'm like, I'm good. I'll wait it out. like I said, I can't quit certain players. So it's just go out and put a feeler, but don't overpay because you think you have to.
Jeff, what do you think about Adams in this sense with all this going on?
I kind of want Tyrod Taylor to play quarterback. Is it wrong that I think that there might be a higher fantasy upside?
No, you're not the only one who thinks that.
Yeah.
Apparently the Jets think that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. For fantasy purposes, I probably would prefer to see Tyrod Taylor right now, at least being able to bring the rushing as a quarterback. We saw last year he had five starts, and three of those he was a top 12 quarterback. So we've seen it before.
Notice how me and Jeff haven't said anything about Davante Adams, and that's because that's what we think about him.
Fair enough.
Good luck.
If he's on your team, he's on your team, and you're hoping that you get a top 24 week, and that's about where you go.
I mean, but we've seen both Garrett Wilson and Davante Adams score well with a litany of just garbage quarterbacks. So I don't think we need to completely give up on them.
But not on the same team, though, right? I mean, they've succeeded separately. As ones, not as together.
Well, I mean, there's guys who have been strange
they've been strange where they've had those games where they do hyper target Adams and Wilson, and then the next game they'll turn around and it's like Xavier Gibson, you get some targets, and Tyler Conklin, oh yeah, you're on the team still, and it's like, well, just give it to your good players, please.
Let's give Malachi Corley this end around to see what happens. Sure.
Then the next week you're like, I'm out on this, and then Davante Adams gets 11 targets and Garrett Wilson gets 10 targets and they both score three touchdowns, and you're like, oh, okay, maybe I was wrong.
Remember when they focused the offense to Breece Hall, Davante Adams, and Garrett Wilson that one game and they almost won?
Well, that's probably why they went to Xavier Gibson next week.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think there's much to add. I think this is kind of a mess, and we'll see how this goes. Seattle's been playing really well this week, this year. So, who knows? Daniel Jones was finally released. We haven't talked about this since it happened. We kind of knew it was going to happen, but he hasn't made any immediate decisions. He cleared waivers yesterday. Reportedly, his favorites are Baltimore and Minnesota, and my take on this is I don't think Daniel Jones ever wants to start again or like be the franchise guy anymore, because apparently the Raiders wanted him and he said no to that. I think he wants to ring chase as a backup now. So are we just stuck with whatever Daniel Jones shares we have now, if you have any?
Yes.
Yep. Pretty much.
Okay.
That's perfect. Crazy. He said no to the Raiders. Like, he legit said no.
That's, I haven't seen that a ton of places, but I have seen that in a couple of places that said the Raiders wanted him and he said no.
Like, don't get me wrong. Devil's ass. I don't want to start for the Raiders either, but like, he's a professional quarterback. He should want to do that.
I don't think he wants to play anymore. I think he wants to ring chase.
Jeff's about to give my point, I think.
Okay, go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, to play devil's advocate, I think if you look at it, he goes in and starts for a month with the Raiders and not knowing the offense, he's going to be washed out, and he'll be a backup quarterback somewhere, but a team's not going to buy in again right away on him potentially being that Sam Darnold type. Whereas if he goes to a contender, and if things break right and he goes out and wins a playoff game or something for somebody, you might get the Sam Darnold path, that the bridge quarterback, or like, we just need somebody to plug in there. Oh yeah, remember Daniel Jones was really good in that random game for the Chiefs, like, or whatnot. And I think that sets up a lot better there. It gives him an opportunity to understand the system, know the system, not be forced in with high expectations, because for some reason we would still put high expectations on Daniel Jones if he was Raiders starting quarterback.
Yeah, my reaction is I want to try out for some of these good teams who are going to have an offensive coordinator that's going to become a head coach. And like, if I go over here and do really good and learn Kevin O'Connell's system, the next guy gets a job, he's going to call him and like, hey, go get Daniel Jones, he knows our system. And then he gets that job, like you said, the Sam Darnold thing. Whereas if he goes to the Raiders, he's like, cool, I can go to another poverty franchise where I look like crap because I have the Coca-Cola classic of mediocre offensive coordinating in Las Vegas, you know?
Yeah. I think the best spot for him is Minnesota, because, you know, I don't have this in the news, but JJ had another kind of knee cleanup surgery. So he, who knows what his deal is. And him as a backup to JJ seems like the right fit. Cause I don't think Darnold's coming back. I think we've talked about this before that they might bring him back, but I think more likely he doesn't come back. So
he earned himself a starting spot somewhere where probably. He can actually start, at least bridge for more than half a season.
Mm-hmm. He'll go to the Rams if Stafford.
Yeah.
I think that sounds great. I'd love that.
Yeah.
Gardner Minshew broke his collarbone. He's out for the season. It sounds like Aiden O'Connell's coming back. He practiced today and yesterday. I'm sorry, he practiced Monday. I'm getting all my days messed up. Thanksgiving week is not real time. Me too. So he practiced Monday. It sounds like he's coming back. They opened his window and everything. J.K. Dobbins, knee injury again. Someone said he shouldn't be allowed on the field with the Ravens anymore because that's all the places he's gotten hurt. So is Gus a league winner, or is this going to be some gross committee no one wants to deal with Vidal and Gus and everything else? Jagger's nodding. Yeah.
Gross.
Okay.
It's a no for me, dog.
Yeah. Brian Robinson, ankle injury. He came back in, but then he went right back out again. Eckler also got his second concussion of the year, and wow, that was a bad one. He like went straight down to the ground and was woozy coming off. So it looks like it's Jeremy McNichol's time, which I know everyone had on their bingo card for 2024, is that Jeremy McNichols was going to be a starting running back. David Montgomery, shoulder injury. They said he could have come back in the game if it was needed, and Campbell said he feels good about Montgomery and Amon-Ra playing. Amon-Ra has been kind of popped up yesterday, but he seems fine. Gibbs might run for 400 yards on the Bears if Montgomery doesn't play.
I love when Frank throws in his self-hatred Bears fan.
He really might. It's terrible. This one sucked. Downs has a shoulder injury. He's basically already been ruled out against the Patriots. So Alec Pierce, anyone? It's
Michael Putman time, baby.
Is back to Putman. Okay.
What I'm taking from this news is that my SFB team is screwed next week with Downs, Dobbins, and Montgomery on it.
Yeah. I missed round two by a point. So I have no SFB team left.
I made it by less than 2 points.
Yeah. It's just DeMarcus Robinson. I know this is kind of a minor name, but arrested for DUI in LA. Probably nothing happens this year, but he hasn't been unusable on the Rams. So thought it was worth throwing on here. Dubs has a concussion. He's out for Thanksgiving. They haven't said that, but there's no way he's not. Someone have something? Sorry, did I jump someone?
No, okay. I just said cool to Romeo Dubs. Like,
but
this news is just like, wow. Like every, you know, 7-7 team or, you know, like 500 team I have.
You're screwed.
Basically.
Basically. This one sucked. Jatavion Sanders.
He was looking good too.
It didn't look good. Apparently he's already out of the hospital.
That's great.
Good news from a human perspective.
Yes.
But I'm shocked if he's playing this year, but we'll see. But
ugly.
It looks not great.
Right on his head.
And then bounced. I've never seen that. Like he didn't he even skipped, like fall like straight. Yeah, he like skipped. It was weird. I've never seen that movement before.
Not outside of like a cartoon or something.
Right. Yeah. I thought the movement was like, okay, he's fine because he like bounced off of it, but like apparently he landed just straight on it and it didn't look good when the backboard and all that stuff came out. But like I said, human perspective, he seems to be fine. So we'll see him in 2025. I doubt they play him with a couple weeks left and on a losing team. Although I wanted them to beat the Chiefs so bad this week. I don't know if anyone else was in that boat.
Fun game to watch.
Bryce looks real. I don't know if I don't know if you guys touch on him later, but we can touch on him for 2 seconds. Are you buying Bryce right now on this resurgence?
I bought a lot of Bryce this offseason, so I those bags are packed.
Yeah.
I was about to say I kind of got him. I'm happy is where I'm at, you know.
Yeah. Relieved is where I'm at.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Yeah, I was never all that in on Bryce to begin with, so I'm more wait and see. I do have a couple shares, including I think on a rebuilding team in TAA. So yeah, I mean, I'm holding where I have them, but I'm not really looking to buy. I need him to prove it a little more than a couple games here.
Yes, if I'm bored on a rebuilding team, I might throw a second just to see if someone's like excited that a good game happened so they could finally get rid of him. Mm-hmm. Because I also bought a few shares in the non-point scoring season and clearly wasn't thrilled with the way things had been going. But yeah, that was a really fun game to watch. Unlike the Texans and Titans and the Cowboys
and the Bears.
Those two games were
fugly
stressful.
Yeah. The Bears just keep finding ways to lose. It's great.
I know Bryce Young. He's a trade target I'm looking for during rookie draft season because that's when people get silly with stuff. So, like, if I have like an extra second and there's someone's favorite wide receiver three, you know, I'm gonna go in and try to get a quarterback with that. You know, so
that will absolutely work on me. By the way, I am
perfect target.
The newest person when it comes to
he loves those receivers. Beginning of the second wide receivers,
and then Zach Reed tells him what to do with those second round picks, and it all comes back together. Greg Dulcich was waived by the Broncos. I forgot he was still on the Broncos. I thought he was gone. I thought he was gone already. I can't imagine he won't land somewhere.
Remember those 29
got talent. Claimed him. What's up?
Giants claimed him.
Oh, good. That's just what we needed for the Theo Johnson shares.
Yep. Ugh.
Yes, okay. Dulcich is going to take over so many targets.
I missed that. But that's not great. And then the fun stat, speaking of the Giants, Saquon had more yards than the Giants offense this weekend.
I saw that. That's beautiful.
But to be fair, the dude had 300 yards by himself.
Yeah.
I mean,
someone said, can you imagine if Daniel Jones goes to the Eagles and Hurts gets hurt and Daniel Jones and Saquon take the Eagles to the Super Bowl? The Giants would just have to fold up and just be done.
So. I think the only reason why Joe Shane's still there is they want him to like clean out the office real good. They're like, go ahead and back. Like,
I think it's all
through that carpet.
Yeah, it's all
they're tanking out for Arch. I mean,
that's what everyone keeps saying is next year for Arch. So let's see what Arch is first. Arch has played three games. He's looked good, but let's see what he is first.
He's that's
all I know. But he's also
he can be mediocre and he's still putting butts in seats.
He's also like 170 pounds soaking wet. He needs to put on a lot of muscle. All right, that's the news. Have a good show, guys.
Later, Frank. Thanks, Frank. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank.
I love the self-deprecating fans where we have Herms in the chat saying Danny Dimes would at least look better than Kenny Pickett.
He would.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, because he's the Eagles backup right now. That's yes. Why, right. I thought he was saying that because he was just still that salty about the time with the Steelers.
He probably is, so let's be honest.
Okay, so that is all of the news. So next we have the part where I make other people make a decision for me. Guests, do you want to do Trade Addicts trades or listener questions first?
Jeff.
Jagger just defers everything to Jeff.
What was that? What you want to do?
Trade questions. Sorry, I had an alarm set for 10 p.m. because I have like a hedge and it didn't come through. Then never mind. Trade questions. Sure.
All right. Trade Addicts trades. The Trade Addicts leagues are 12 teams, Superflex, PPR, tight end premium with 1.75 points per tight end reception and 0.05 points for return yardage, except for TA1. And we do have one heck of a TA1 trade. Get those whiteboards ready for this one. Whew. Nico Collins and Hunter Henry. 4. Brian Robinson, Chris Olave, Devonta Smith, Sam Laporta, and a 25-4. One more time. Nico Collins and Hunter Henry for Brian Robinson, Chris Olave, Devonta Smith, Sam Laporta, and 25-4.
Someone sold their soul for a championship.
Someone got really angry at a couple of players that are not playing up to their expectations and shipped them out. That's what this feels
like. That's worse than what I... Yeah. Because, like, that's easy. I want the other side. You rebuilt the team with one trade, if you really think about it. Like, it's not even a question.
That was my thought, too. And I love Nico Collins. Mm-hmm. But that's just too much. Yeah, I mean, Olave, I think, we have the concussion issues, but I think we'll be back next year. And we'll be solid, at least. And Devonta is Devonta. And Laporta can't be this bad going forward, right?
So, he's the past few weeks has been better.
He has picked it up a little.
I'll say
better. Would they say no to this trade if you pulled Brian Robinson Jr. out of it?
I would still take it. Yeah.
This trade feels fair if you take Sam Laporta out of it.
Hunter Henry is an Arkansas legend and a Patriot. There is no one in the world I love more than Hunter Henry, but he just doesn't matter at all in this trade. Like, okay, cool. You got Sam Laporta for free. Cool.
You got the wrong Henry. You had Derrick Henry go for a title, but
yeah.
So we all Nico Collins side?
No, I'm
okay. So yeah, that package. It's far too much. Next, we move on to Trade Addicts 3, where the trade was Justin Herbert, Brandon Cooks, and a 25 third for JJ McCarthy, a 25 second, and 26 first.
I'll take Justin Herbert.
Yeah. So, like, this really just feels like Herbert for McCarthy in a 26 first and Cooks in a third for a 25 second. Sure. Whatever.
Yeah. I don't care about anything else. Like, even I love you, Frank, and thanks for this note about Brandon Cooks, but like, cool.
Yes. Frank put a note in that Brandon Cooks limited both practices this week, so he is on his way back. That's not enough to care.
Yeah.
He will catch 5 passes for 18 yards from Cooper Rush.
Hey, PPR, baby. PPR. I yell that every single time there's a bad screen where the guy gets knocked down 2 yards before the line of scrimmage. PPR, baby. Because you still get that 0.8 points. Everybody, Rocky, did you?
Yeah, I would go with Herbert here. I mean, I don't like paying up for a quarterback, but I've never been a big JJ guy to begin with anyway. So, and the first of being 26 makes it even easier for me. So, yeah, I would take Herbert here.
Mm-hmm. I don't dislike this as much as I thought I originally would. It really is, I don't know, selling out on Herbert to just go full rebuild, even though Herbert is like 24 still. I know he's not actually 24, but still. But that's really what this feels like. This feels like I want to rebuild, so I'm going to rebuild no matter what. And that's a little dangerous, I think, as we see here, because the value is still pretty easily Herbert, and Herbert is a guy you should be building around in a super flex league. But I get it. At least I get it. Like that first trade, we see what happened, but it still doesn't make sense. This one makes a little bit more sense to me.
I mean, I get the allure and what you're saying, but I have a guy that I hope is Justin Herbert, a Marshawn Lloyd or a Trey Benson, and I don't care right now.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Okay. So let's move on to Trade Addicts 6, where James Conner was traded for a 25 second and third. How do we feel about Conner rest of season? Enough to send a second and third?
Yes. I pay that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's probably what you're going to pay if you're a contender and you need mm-hmm. to plug that in there. I'm a little bit nervous that we've seen a slight shift to Trey Benson getting a little bit more work than where he was maybe a month ago. But I think for the stretch run, Connor's got a really good schedule.
Rocky. I'm pretty sure this was me. So, yes, I would send the second and third.
It was.
And I am trying to take down the monolith that is J. Mike. So, yeah, I figured I could use all the pieces I can get.
I mean, if you only had anything that would help a rebuilding team, I would absolutely try and help you out. But any league I'm rebuilding, Rocky is competing, and Rocky has this thing against young wide receivers that I don't understand.
And on the competing teams, I almost never have picks. So
nope.
These were probably the last picks I had there. So,
and then next is Trade Addicts 8, which I also believe is a Rocky trade.
It is.
On the other side, James Conner and Zach Ertz for DeMario Douglas, Andre Yoshivas, and 225 fourths.
That's an even trade, I think.
Do we believe in DeMario Douglas?
Yeah. if the offensive line gets better and they get a wide receiver one, Pop will get better. You just can't have Pop as your wide receiver one or Hunter Henry. So I think he's a good player. It's will he be like a top 24 guy? Maybe not, but I think he can be a top 36 guy that you'll like having in your flex. You know, let's say like name a PPR guy. I think I'm just naming DeMario Douglas. He already is.
Well, and I do think Douglas is the type of player that, you know, Patriots going for garbage nonsense. He could have a strong month to end the year, and we walk into the offseason thinking that his value is much, much higher, especially before that move does happen for a number one receiver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was the one that sent Ertz and Connor in this trade. And yeah, that's basically what I was thinking. I'm not sure what to feel about DeMario Douglas, but I figure I'm majorly rebuilding in this league. I'm like 2-10 or something like that. And these were kind of the last contending pieces I had left. This guy didn't have any picks except those two fourths, which is why I just added them in there. So I figured I might as well take them. I didn't really care about the fourths, but I figured why not. So, but yeah, and I was looking and Douglas is, he's been actually semi decent as like a bi-week filler type, even just this year when it's not been great. Like I think he's had more double digit games than not in PPR. So, yeah, I figured I'd just take the shot on technically four dart throws here with the two fourths and Yishvas and Douglas. And it's not like I was getting a ton of interest in Connor and Ertz, so I figured, let's totally get the tank down now and get whatever young pieces I can.
Do we think that Yishvas bump is coming too? Like if T. Higgins officially is gone,
that was my thinking. Yeah,
that double count is around the corner.
Is Drake May for real? Is he the answer at quarterback?
Yes. Yes, I thought of that. I thought he was the answer before he was a Patriot. I was thrilled. I was nervous because I've been a Patriots fan so long. I'm like, they're gonna F this up. They're gonna do something wild. And try to get cute because Jerod Mayo is going to do the same. I think he's a great player. All the tools that we see him doing now are what he did in North Carolina. He had a bad offensive line. He had to play hero ball and do the best of what he can. And he's already doing vet stuff and moving the ball around, you know, spreading it around. So if we get him a wide receiver and maybe another tackle, I think we're cooking with grease, baby.
So yeah, I've been impressed with what I've seen with basically nothing around
him.
He is an artist when it comes to extending plays. Like, it is so much fun to watch it. Well, I mean, it's unfortunately fun to watch him have to scramble around the back as much as he does because there's no offensive line. But I like it. I like what I see.
I ask you guys, are you on the train to put Drake May ahead of Caleb Williams? Because like even I like Drake May, and I don't know maybe if it's the football brain and the fantasy brain clashing, but the rushing really does a lot for Drake May. Are you putting him ahead in Dynasty, or are you still Caleb Williams? Like is the number one in the class, or Jaden Daniels is, and then Caleb Williams?
Caleb just run for 80 yards like a week ago.
I'm not there. Like I said, but like a lot of people are like Drake, like just go trade Caleb Williams for Drake May. And I'm like, okay, no, guys, like it's just like,
I mean, regardless if that ends up being the right answer in the long run, which clearly we can't say, it's the wrong move now because
it's bad process.
Yeah. But no, cause they're both in terrible situations and they're not the same terrible situation. So I'm not going to make moves. I'm not going to make any heavy moves on either of them. And Caleb Williams was heavily ranked above Drake May, and Drake May has moved up. I mean, I say in my rankings, like laughing to myself because I don't actually do any rankings or anything, but like he's moved up in my estimations, but not that much. Like I'm not willing to crown him anything because he can not die behind a bad offensive line, which don't get me wrong, is good. It is good that he does not die. But that's not enough to move him above that high up from where you had him before.
Yeah, because the Bears can get Ben Johnson and Donovan Jackson from Ohio State, off to like a guard, and then that team, you got a Pro Bowler right there. You got a contending roster, to be honest. Whereas the Patriots, you need a lot to get to that level of where the Bears are right now. And that's like, again, I'm being an honest Pats fan. It's like guys, like we're fighting for the number one pick for a reason. You know, it's
like, I'm not convinced that maybe Jaden Daniels isn't the pivot there too.
I think Jaden Daniels for Caleb
and with value, or Drake May with value on top of it. I don't know that that's the wrong thing to do.
I think Jaden Daniels Kingsbury. Is probably above. Do you guys have Jaden above Caleb or no?
Because of rushing, yeah.
Like I would still have Caleb above.
I would have Daniels above.
Yeah, see, I'll have Daniels above because, well, I want Cliff Kingsbury to go away. Because
we all do. forever.
Yeah, like go back to college. It seemed to work better there. But still, I like what I see so much out of Jaden Daniels. And rushing is part of his game. It's not like something he can do. It is absolutely something he does. And that's what we needed. And this is fantasy more than anything else. So that's why I've moved Daniels above him. Okay. And Herm saying, shout out Bo Nix because he deserves to be discussed in this group.
Yeah. He's there. I still have him after all the guys that we mentioned, I think. But let's put it this way. If we were in a startup right now, if I got sniped on Jaden Daniels, I'd queue up Caleb Williams. If I got sniped on that, I'd queue up Drake May. And then if I got sniped again, I'm like, all right, I guess I'm going with Bo Nix, you know?
Yeah, I agree, fourth, but I had thought he was going to be more of like an afterthought in this class. And it's been impressive to see what he's been able to do with not much of a team around him, too. You know, it's basically Sutton and that's pretty much it, you know.
Don't badmouth Torrey Franklin.
there's some nice young, you know, little young guy pieces, but I mean, there's nothing, you know, he's standing out when there's not a lot of standouts around him.
What about Michael Penix? Because, you know, Penix was right there with these guys. We see these guys all be good. Is it the law of averages that says, well, maybe he's the bad one, or is it, you know, maybe under the radar, he's as good as them too. He's just not in a situation where he's on the field.
It could just be a great claim. I mean, that Burrow to hurt, and there are like five guys in that class that are now starting quarterbacks. I'm forgetting somebody, but
it could be. He was easily my least favorite in the class for multiple reasons, but I think him landing in a situation where he can clean up stuff and he's not forced to start, I think he could be good. But like, I'm still not paying more than like a second rounder, and I gotta be desperate. Like, I mean, desperate to go out and pay that, or because really he's like a guy I want to acquire in a package more than just go out to acquire with a single asset.
But he is a guy that I think that if you've got a rebuilder and some of these contenders that you're looking to make a deal right now, and we know that sometimes those picks can be prohibitive to go and get, Penix might be a good substitute for that type of thing.
Yeah, like if you're a person that's in a lot of leagues and you have a bunch of rebuilding teams, like I feel like you should have at least one share of Michael Penix on there. I call them just in case shares, you know, in case he is good. Absolutely, but I don't know. It's tough to put him in this conversation because I don't think he really deserved to be drafted up there in the first place.
If they didn't take him, the Raiders were going to. So
I know, but that still doesn't make it right.
And the fact he was, though, means he's going to get a very good shot, though.
Yes, absolutely. Like, he's going to get a shot. He's going to get a very good chance when his time comes around. Where were we?
We're at Brandon Ayuk and Terry
McLaurin. Yeah, so now we got off.
This is what happens when I go on the show. You just go off.
It was actually me. I asked the quarterback. It was me. I was just like, let's talk quarterbacks.
Hey, man, I don't mind that whatsoever. But let's get back to Trade Addicts 9, where this is really funny because this is one guy who apparently just had a lot of injured wide receivers on his team, but it happens to be in first place.
Yes.
So
I have more points than him, but he's in first place. I can't stand him.
Fair. That's how you really feel.
And you're about to hate these people.
I'm friendly with them. I'm just playing, but yeah.
The first trade is Brandon Ayuk straight up for Terry McLaurin. Now, again, I want to put context in this one because right off the bat, like to me, this is like, oh, Brandon Ayuk, of course. Yeah. But if you're in first place and you kind of see you're maybe a little bit of a paper tiger, you're a little bit maybe falling a little bit. So you start to be like, you know what? I'm going all in. Would you send Ayuk for Terry McLaurin?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm fine with that too. I actually think that's pretty fair, like value wise.
I'm about to go sell.
Given Ayuk gets injured, like and yeah, was not off to a great start this year anyway.
The value bump that Ayuk got off of like really one good year was kind of strange. I think, especially
I
now.
I disagree.
I know we've always disagreed on Ayuk.
Man, like
26 in Dynasty, and he's injured.
Like I feel like I don't know. Like I'm take locking on this one, where I feel like Ayuk should be worth more, even though he's hurt. Like I get it; he's going to come back. He's locked in on this on a very good team, even though he hasn't really showed out on that team. Like, but still, I think. But also, I don't know what a good Ayuk deal looks like, because I haven't seen one that was just like that's it. So I guess this is fine, of course, coming off a week of McLaurin getting shut down.
But that's he fine. Had 100 yards and a touchdown.
Oh, sorry. Week before. My brain is wibbly wobbly timey wimey. I have no idea what day it is anymore.
Although that was an 86 yard touchdown where before that he had like 4 catches for 20 yards or something.
Well, yes, Rocky, but he had 100 yards and a touchdown. I think McLaurin's funny just because it seems to be a general vibe of disappointment around him. He's almost at his fifth straight 1,000-yard season. It's kind of just he never ascended into that top 12 receiver that we maybe were hoping for, but it feels like everybody is down on him, disappointed in him, and like I said, 5 straight years of 1,000 yards. At some point, you're like, okay, I mean –
I think part of it too might have been that he was pretty good right out of the gate as a rookie, and so you were expecting like a bump up from that, and he's kind of just been that good the whole time.
Yeah. Once people place those expectations of greatness on you, you're either great or you're bad. There's never an in between, and he absolutely has landed in that in between. But value will never show it, which I guess is good. That means you go and trade for him and just take those points.
Agreed.
So next trade is Rashee Rice for DK Metcalf.
The same, I feel the same like I did last trade. This is fine, you know. Like they're about the same for me. So like I'm rebuilding and I'm getting Patrick Mahomes guy. But I think these are both really good elite specialists that have decent situations. Geno's all right. They just don't have a good offensive line. If you're desperate and you need a guy, DK Metcalf. You probably could have got more for Rashee Rice, I feel like. Even a third, I know that doesn't sound like a lot. You probably could have squeezed just a little bit, but I don't know. I think it's fine.
I'm glad I bought Rashee Rice last offseason when he was in the club, because that feels for an injured player. I mean, yeah, I think it's fair. I think you're right there. But for an injured player to give up DK Metcalf, it's makes me nervous.
So there's a so this is me. This was me. I sent away DK Metcalf for Rashee Rice. And here's really there's a very good reason I tell everyone who listens to me in any platform I talk, do as I say, not as I do. Because I've said multiple times since we've started talking today, no less I was on the Football Guy show with these two lovely fellows yesterday, where I don't like making decisions. Like I always make the guest choose whether we're even doing the listener questions or the trades first. Like that's how much I don't like making decisions. I have too many startable players in Trade Addicts 9. And then first of all, he sent me Rashee Rice for, I think it was like Puka. And I'm like, okay, no, I'll have to break on that one. So I countered with this because this stops me from having to make a decision every week. I don't have to decide whether I want to play DK Metcalf or not. I can't play him anymore. Can't play Rashee Rice, but I still can play Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr. instead. Like
that's an interesting perspective and a philosophy, because like that's kind of why I don't like. I tell people I've ascended to the point where I only want to buy like 15 players that I really want, and it's just guys that I just don't have to care about. Oh, do I have to? Like, does he have a good matchup? I don't care. It's Ja'Marr Chase. Like, I'm just gonna put him in there. So that's what I try to do. So I understand, and I do think I've bought in more into a little bit of the portfolio method. So I just don't get crushed when one event happens. So like sometimes I'll just like I need to sell a player, so I'm gonna send out a trade and I know someone's going to accept it, or a couple of people are, if you're in enough. And that's your variance right there. I'm not going to try to counter or do anything, but I'm going to let the gods decide. And by the gods, I mean whoever I think could give me something that's like worthwhile.
Yeah. See, I hate having depth because I am terrible at setting lineups. So I got rid of it.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And unlike you, if T. Higgins or Devonta Smith ever miss a game, I'm pretty much just screwed.
Yeah. I'm like that, man.
I like to move depth too, but I like to consolidate instead of like just trading for a hurt guy that I don't have to worry about playing.
I mean, yeah, don't get me wrong. I've tried. But the problem being,
Russ did say at the beginning, do as I say, not as I do.
This league is really annoying where the good teams have the good players.
Tends to happen.
So none of you are dealing.
It works out that way.
Yeah, none of you are dealing to each other, and it's hard to get anything done.
Well, I mean, this was between I'm a playoff team, and this is a team that's in first place, and I just gave him DK Metcalf. Yeah, like I said, it's not the smartest move, but I got bored. But actually, that leads to another question that I was thinking of, because this actually, we'll stop talking about this trade because it's not even that interesting. I had someone ask me a question. They have Jonnu Smith on their team, and it's a very shallow starting league where you only start like seven players, and he's not going to start Jonnu, but Jonnu's been playing like, what, tight end five the past couple of weeks?
Yeah.
And he's like, I have teams throwing me offers for Jonnu. Do I trade them to competing teams? So what's your thoughts on that? If you're in a situation where you can profit from a player that you literally can't start for requirement reasons, would you be willing to trade them to a fellow contending team?
He pays price, yeah. I mean, pays market. I mean, if you're adding points to your lineup, then you're adding points to your lineup.
I try to do what's best for my roster and not think about what the other guy's doing so much. And like, if it gets to the nitty gritty so much, I may consider that, but I don't even have time to think about what other people are doing. And I think that's a good place to think in Dynasty, even if you're in like maybe only four or five leagues. It's just, who cares of what everyone else is doing? Get good players, try to get points on your roster, and realize that everything is variance at the end of the day, so you can't really game what another player does.
Yeah, I think that's really – yeah, that's a good point there. And like as you get more involved, especially more involved in content, more involved in more leagues, you just we all love Leo Pasiga, and he's so smart and so good. Yeah. And like his teachings in Dynasty and all that stuff. And I'm like, Leo, I just don't have time to profile my league mates. I'm just trying to get value off of deals.
Every year or two, I try to do the notebook thing. It lasts for about a day and a half, and then it's gone. Mm-hmm. I'll be smart about it. I'll only do it for like one league. And even then, still, nope.
Well, and I work hard to try to craft trade offers to look at an opponent's roster and say, this would make sense. And then so often you just get back, well, that's crap. And almost you just get to the point where, okay, this is roughly equal value and I'm fine moving these players. I would like that player. What do you think?
Yeah. As I say, my goal is like, everyone's like, well, do you try to lowball? Do you try to do this? I try to treat everybody with respect for the most part. I do know, like, you know the lemming. You know the frittata in your league or something. So you find that out quick. And, yeah, I try to get one over them. I try to get a free bag every now and then. But for the most part, I'm not going to Jeff like, well, Jeff's a Bills fan and blah, blah, blah. I'm just like, hey, I need this guy or I like this dude. Here's what I think you may like. But I will say, like, I will look at how your roster is constructed and think about, hey, you look like you're rebuilding or I do that. But everyone, like, especially these redraft bros who are only in like their home league, and I love that for them. I love that you have that dedication for it. I do not have time to think about, well, if this and this happens and if I try to get him to play this player, it's like, bro, I just need a running back. You know, yeah. I don't need a story. I just like need a running back. If you message me something, make it short. Don't send me a book of why I really need this dude because, like, okay, you've car sells me and I'm already off, you know, this trade.
I've had that reaction where I've seen the paragraph and I'm just like, just going to hit reject at this point. If you're trying to sell me, what is your cat's name? I see a cat.
Oh, that's Ash.
Hi, Ash. Yep. She's going look at you getting comfy over there.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
She watches a lot of football. My favorite is
like the paragraph explanation, just to give him a one word answer. Just
no.
Or why. It's either no or why. It's usually.
That's something I've learned from Jeff. It's like sometimes, like if it's really bad, I'm like, I've got to, like, this is just disrespectful. Like someone in mine and Jeff's listener league, like, you guys know we do this for money. And I'm like, how do you think this helps me? And then they just, you basically get like the iPhone bubbles, and you know, they're like, and you're like, oh God, what are you going to say? And then like, and that's when you get the book, and I'm like, okay, cool. And I need to send them a counter if it's somewhat interesting, but most of the time it's just like, yeah, I give him the old thumbs up.
My favorite is
the thumbs up. Yep.
I'll send Rocky a trade, and he'll be like, "Did you forget to click a button somewhere? This is awful."
Many a time.
Sometimes I did. Sometimes I did not. All right, we do have one more trade in TA11. Christian McCaffrey was traded for a 25 first and second. A lot of very okay trades this week.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. I wouldn't pay the second. I would be pretty firm on that, but I'd probably be wrong, to be honest. That's probably the price of a contending running back. So,
yeah, I'm not letting a second stop me from getting Christian McCaffrey if I want to win. Yeah. And I think that's where, like, that's not a very hard line in the sand for me. Like, I don't want to pay that second, but give it to me anyway. All right.
Where are you guys on Brock Purdy shutdown watch? Because I'm a little bit nervous.
Give me the skinny. I don't know enough.
Well, it's just this. So they play Buffalo this week. They're only one game back in their division, which is important. But I don't know how bad the shoulder is. And is this the type of thing where they're going to try to gut it out and see if they can beat Buffalo or see if they can stay in it? If they fall a couple games back, is this we're shutting him down in week 13, week 14? Like week 15, then, and you're just not even getting him for the fantasy playoffs, and it's tanking all the other 49ers as well.
Yeah, my Debo share was not super thrilled this past week.
Mm-hmm. It was ugly.
I just think it's more, I feel like it feels like that type of situation anytime I hear a shoulder injury, and I don't think you sit 1 week and a shoulder gets better.
Yeah, well, I'm a throwing shoulder.
I thought it was throwing shoulder.
I'm a little concerned about it, and I wasn't sure how serious it was, and I'm still not. But I do think the one thing you said there is important, that division is still up for grabs, and this is a team that came in with Super Bowl expectations. So I kind of feel like, unless they have to, I feel like it's probably going to be more like that they have to be mathematically eliminated before they're shutting them down, if he can come back. Like, again, I don't know the severity of the shoulder injury.
It is throwing shoulder, and they've gotten it. I saw there was a news item that it was a second MRI on the throwing shoulder. Like,
that's not good.
So it may just not even be up to them. So, yeah, I mean, it may just be that bad that there's no choice. Yeah.
They got to fire that team, Doc, man. They've got, I mean, it is spooky over there. Like, you could tell, like, I feel like it plagues teams. Like, the more I know about this game, is that I used to say I draft offensive coordinators. Now I'm like, I draft head coaches. Like, now I'm like, I'm just gonna avoid organizations unless a player is like Malik Nabers talented, where I just can't ignore it. Like, I just like, who's gonna coach the Raiders? I don't really care until I see something better, you know? I just know that dude still cuts his hair like that, and I just can't really trust him. So
he has to do that himself, right?
Man, it's bizarre.
I know at one time he was driving a full-size conversion van as like his mode of transport, and he would go to PF Chang's every day and sit at the bar and call it his office, and like, that's what he would do.
It sounds like a skit from The Office.
I'm out, dude. I'm way out. For SNL Raiders. Yeah, forever. Like, that's like, yeah, it's like the Giants. You see that Joe Shane call, and everyone legitimately Hard Knocks. Like, it wasn't a Hard Knocks bump for me up. It was down. Like, I saw that Joe Shane thing. I'm like, I just don't want any of the Giants this year whatsoever. And they're like, why? I'm like, because they have a baby. They got a boss baby on there on the phone trying to run an organization.
Pretty good movie, by the way. Just a the sequel, first one, I like it. All right, so let's get on to our listener questions first. Frank in the chat, Marvin Harrison has clearly not lived up to the hype. Is this a buying opportunity, or is this what he is?
You know the answer, Frank.
you want to tell him what it is anyway?
Yeah, it's a buying opportunity. Go out and get you some 2025 rookies, except maybe Jonathan Brooks.
Hey, his one carry for 2 yards, I'm sure, was great.
Something to look at.
Yeah.
I think we're, I don't know, not lived up to that. The hype was wrong. Like, it was just too much. It was unrealistic. You've got Harrison's been like a wide receiver 15. Like, I feel like absent the redraft mindset of him being a wide receiver 6 that people are drafting in the first round of underdog, why are we upset about a rookie coming in as wide receiver 15? Like, that doesn't seem something to really get bent out of shape about for me.
I think it's been fine.
I think he looks very good. I mean, you watch the games, he looks legitimate. Like, he looks good. It's not that this guy doesn't belong. This isn't, I love him, but Quentin Johnston out there where you're like, oh God, this was a terrible pick. Like, he looks legit. Like,
hey, touchdown scoring Quentin Johnston.
I am the biggest advocate of Quentin Johnston, but yeah.
No, yeah.
Are you saying wide receiver 15 is scoring?
Let's see. I saw him. Well, that was standard scoring. Let me see where he's actually at.
In Trey Addict's PPR scoring, points per game, he's wide receiver 40.
What?
Wide receiver 26 in half PPR.
This might be, this isn't accounting for minimum number of games, so it might be a little higher
than receiver, that. Wide receiver 17 if you knock off that week one, zero. So, I mean, yeah.
I mean, it's a wild disparity.
He is going to be fine. I think that's really the long-term thing to take away from this. He, you know, maybe he won't be Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, but he will be fine. So, yes, go buy yourself some Marvin Harrison Jr. if anyone's panicking. At Matt,
go buy Roman Dunze.
What about Roman Dunze?
All of them. Just all those receivers are, like, down right now, and I'm just going to snatch them all up. So. Yep.
What about Xavier Worthy? How do you feel about Xavier Worthy?
Accept him. I'm good on that.
I wasn't ready for that.
I traded Calvin Ridley and Zach Ertz, and I got back Xavier Worthy last week. I was pretty happy about that.
I like that too, because that is clear, nice rebuild move. So
it's something.
Well, and I'm a contender, and I got might have got played a little bit because it's in this is safe leagues, and tight end is very valuable. And I know the other guy pretty well. We've talked a lot, and he made the offer, and it was right before the trade deadline. And I was like, yeah, I'll do that. And then I pulled the button, and I realized Taysom Hill was my tight end last year, and Zach Ertz was my fill-in. I don't really have a tight end now, and I was the two seed, and now I don't have a tight end like at all, and trades are dead. So like I was like, you know. That was probably a good on you move to play me there. I mean, I still like the value that I got, but that was probably a good job by you.
Hmm. That's why there shouldn't be trade deadlines.
Yeah.
At Matt 5 Williams got offered Jameson Williams and Tyrone Tracy for Derrick Henry and a third. I said no, though. Good or bad, I didn't take it.
Relative.
Yeah, I think if you want points, you're keeping Derrick Henry. If you're rebuilding, you don't really want Tyron Tracy. No, the answer is Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I think even if I'm rebuilding, I want a little more value than that than Williams and Tracy for Henry.
I don't like to roster Jameson Williams type players. I don't. Tyron Tracy, what did I just, that spiel I whole said, I just don't want Giants that aren't like Malik Neighbors level. I just don't care. Like, I have a Tyron Tracy share. I sold, someone offered me like a first for it. I'm like, are we there? Oh, yeah. For sure. Like, yeah, dude. Give me, I don't even care that I'm contending. It's like,
sure. I have a lot of Tyron Tracy. If you want to give me a first for him, yeah, just out there, people.
at kruth at bsky.social. What is the most overrated Thanksgiving side dish?
I'll let you discuss.
Ham. Oh, that's
green bean casserole.
See, I like green bean casserole, but like I like the gross version of it. Like, I don't want a fancy green bean casserole. I want the crap out of a can. Like the one that's really bad for you.
My thing is just salt it, guys. Like, I've had really good green bean casserole, and then I've had this coagulated mush that has onion straws on it, you know? And I'm like, cool. Thank God for these onion straws, or I would be eating baby food, you know? Like it, basically, you've created a wet receptacle for onion straws. But if you actually make a good casserole, put seasoning, season your green beans, even if it's out of the can, don't be afraid to use salt, folks. It's fine. Put salt on your food. Maybe a little garlic powder. You know, I've had it good and I've had it bad. I'll give you an option: sweet potato casserole, marshmallows. No. Okay,
uh-oh. That's fantastic. That's elite.
Everyone. That's
for the most part. Mm. No, I think sweet potatoes is elite, especially when you got those marshmallows on it.
See, I don't need the marshmallows. I just like sweet potatoes. And then, like, people get a little too cute. Like, I know someone that puts pineapple in their sweet potato pie.
Get out.
Casserole,
get
out. Sorry. Yeah.
No. See, I'm weird with food. I have a gluten allergy, and I basically just told my mother-in-law, just make sure I can have turkey and sweet potato, and I'll be fine. Like, you don't need to worry about anything else.
All right. Well, I was going to say, as long as nobody badmouths stuffing, we're fine. But you can't even eat it. I never got behind cranberry sauce.
Yes, I agree.
I like it, dude. I like the Jell-O. I like the garbage. Actually, the good cranberry sauce that people are like, this is real. There's real cranberries. It sucks. Turns out I like candy that's been gelatinized.
It's so funny because my in-laws refuse to have real cranberry sauce. They're like, I want to see the ridges from the can in the sauce after it plops out of it.
Yeah, that's it. Tells you where to cut it, man. That's what I want. It tastes like childhood.
Rock, do you eat anything at Thanksgiving?
That's why I said I'll let you guys discuss. Basically, I'll eat some turkey, corn, mashed potatoes, maybe a roll. That's it.
You not eat vegetables? Or, like, are you one of those people?
Pretty much, yeah. I'm not a healthy eater.
Al Michaels over here.
I also am a very picky eater. Yeah,
I'll have some steak with some steak, please.
Yeah.
What kind of steak would you like? Would you have like a ribeye with a side of a fillet, like a nice little side over there? Like,
just give me another ribeye.
I was about to say, what steak would be on the side of your steak? Because we're doing a steak with a side of steak, the other one, they need to be different. But, like, yeah, once you get ribeye, I don't really want anything else anymore anyway. Just give me another ribeye. Yeah, you're right. Just give me two ribeyes. That's fine.
Yeah, you talk about overrated fillets, man. Like, I cut it with a fork. I'm like, cool, man. Go eat baby food.
I mean, you would eat baby food. That's, like, the third time you've brought that up, man.
It's just an unsatisfactory, like, I'm a texture eater. I'm big on... I don't like stickers. Like, that's like, I'm on the spectrum of texture. It's a big thing for me. Like, I will lose it if a sticker doesn't come off clean and it's sticky. I'm like horrified thinking about it. But that's how I am about really mushy, unflavorful things. I'm like, wow, you gave me stuff I used to eat as a baby because it was there and I was unsupervised. And like, and I mean like paste and stuff like that. Like, I won't be too loud so my fiance doesn't. Like, hear me, she makes the worst smoothies known to mankind. Like, I don't know, like, I don't know how you ruin a smoothie, man. It's so bad. It is so bad. And I'm just like, she's like, do you like it? And I hate it so much because of the texture and no flavor.
I'm waiting to see if
Jack, I'm the same way on like stickers and like whatnot, or like if I have chicken wings, like I will get up in the middle of eating them to go wash my hands just because it's a level of like I need to get this off of me right now. Mm-hmm. And yeah, no, I hear you. I won't eat like a chicken, like a pulled chicken sandwich because of like in the past, just getting a random bone or something in a bite. Like, I'm just done. Like, I don't. Mm-hmm.
Water chestnuts. oh my God. I'm like, why don't you just feed me styrofoam? Like sprinkle some so MSG weird. On styrofoam. You know?
Those are so weird. Ugh. All right. Well, let's at Andrew Hall FF dot blue sky dot social asks the best Thanksgiving movie. And is I said, thinking, what's a Thanksgiving movie? Does anyone know of it? Like, that's why I left it on here, because I was hoping someone knew.
I came up with
the best Thanksgiving movie is football. And then the second best Thanksgiving movie is the Christmas movies that you watch on like Black Friday and Saturday.
I came up with one only because I like kind of Googled it when I saw the question on the chair sheet. And Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is about them trying to get home for Thanksgiving. So that's
I'll take it.
The best Thanksgiving.
I need to watch that because that's the second time that has come up in conversations.
So. I haven't seen that in far too long. I have to watch that again. All right, so let's see. Charlie Brown Thanksgiving.
Boo, Dutch. Garbage.
I forgot football. Dutch it. There's Planes, Trains, and Automobile. Tower Heist. Home for the Holidays. Knives Out. Knives Out is not a Thanksgiving movie. Garfield's Thanksgiving.
Wasn't there some Thanksgiving horror movie, though, or something?
It's called Thanksgiving. It's on Netflix right now. I won't watch it.
Remember the Titans.
Just because you eat turkey at one point during a movie doesn't make it a Thanksgiving movie.
I'm not buying this reaching. List. I'm at all. No. Sorry.
Well, there's not a lot of Thanksgiving movies.
Oh. No. Sorry, Oprah. And
Thanksgiving is an underrated holiday. We disrespect it every year. You have the least amount of expectations for Thanksgiving. You don't have to dress up stupid. You don't have to take pictures. You don't have to buy gifts for people. You're not going to get four candles that say, I know nothing about you. And here, it's a white elephant gift. You show up, you eat. You can nap at 1 p.m. No one is going to judge you. You sit
and
there,
Jeff
you watch
mentioned,
football.
You get football all day.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, why do we're so in a hurry to be stressed out with Christmas. Like, and like, well, Halloween, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I don't want to paint my face, guys. I just want to show up and eat. I'm here for the candy. I don't want to do anything else.
My biggest conflict on Thanksgiving is waiting for like the extended family to leave so I can flip from jeans to sweatpants is like my.
See, that's your thing. That's your fault for putting on jeans in the first place.
Mm-hmm. We get extended like. Cousin, like out of town cousins type things of
you
like,
gotta try
on my wife's side, so like I have to at least like try just a little bit. But the moment they leave, those sweatpants are coming on.
You set expectations in the first place. My in-laws know me as a pajama pants guy.
The problem is this is like the extension of the in-laws. Like my mother-in-law is fantastic, and like that's why I changed the sweatpants at her house. But it's like the extension of like the out of town family and like the cousins and those that I'm see like once a year, and I'm like, I can't be the guy showing up.
My fiance, she's a Chicago Italian, so you dress up like to a tie to dinner, and then you get pajamas, and then you wear pajamas, and I'm just like, I'm caught the entire time, like they fill me up with liquor and make me smoke cigars and yell at me about football, and I'm just like, where's the pajamas portion? I was like, I ate seven fishes and six different kinds of pasta. I can barely stand.
Those are the people that should understand needing sweatpants immediately.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that is the end of our show sheet. So that is going to be the end of our show. Thank you two so much. It is always a delight to talk to you. And I was thrilled to be able to do it 2 days in a row. Before we head out, why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they could find what you do.
I'm Jagger May. That's Jeff Bell. We're over on the Football Guys Dynasty show. We do three shows a week. Most of the time we have one trade show. We do Dynasty Risers and Fallers, and we're getting into our rookie content right now. So all you people who are losing and doing bad, come see us. We'll tell you how to fix it.
And that's don't laugh. Those are the kind of people that hang around here. You know, yeah. we're in it for the
more
fun
than
of it,
welcome.
Not necessarily because we're good at it.
Yeah. We do listener leagues and they're kicking our butts, but we still tell them they still want to know what they're doing wrong. So that's a lot of fun. And you can find me on socials at For Whom J Bell Tolls. Usually if you type 4W, I'm probably one of the first ones to come up. So
that
Jag says everywhere. So just look that up.
Yeah. And I will forever love for whom J Bell Tolls, by the way. That is just such a good handle.
It's the one right thing I've done in my life. So I had my wife. So
I was about to say, you have a family, man.
I know.
I and my wife and the children. Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Our stuff, patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. You could hang out with us while we record. And we also have our awesome Discord chat, Cool Kids Club. Also, fantasycares.org. It is toy shopping season. So if you can go and donate anything you can, we would greatly appreciate it. But also, the advent calendar is back. Starting December 1st for 25 days in a row, we are going to go live every single day and give a signed jersey away to someone every single day. All you got to do is go to fantasycares.org/advent and go and donate, and you will be put on the list that maybe you will get trust me, I know what jerseys there are. There's some good ones. This is so much fun and all for good cause. So check out fantasycares.org/advent. And on that note, good night, everybody.
Good night, Russ.
Night, y'all.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FS Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy Pants. Daddy's the best. See ya.